You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, certainly cerebral cells celebrating Celsius and centimeters on the ceremonious bicentennial celebration. You're listening to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 200.
We made it.
And of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your highfalutin, high-flying hydrocarbon life forms, highlighting hijinks, sitting on high chairs, wearing our high tops, high-fiving.
Woo! I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
Ah, the road to 200 is
here. We made it.
And in time for our fifth anniversary.
Yeah.
Aww. Yeah.
Around this time. We're recording right now. It's early March, so ish.
Yeah.
Ish. Mm-hmm. Where were we 5 years ago? Oh my God.
It is, in every sense, hard to imagine.
Half
the difference.
A decade.
Yeah.
Before three children were added to this motley ensemble we have here.
Dogs and cats.
Yep.
Living together. Mass hysteria.
Well, Karen, can I start us off here with a very Good Job Brain tradition of the wacky news article?
Yes, hopefully
involving animals. This is from the Washington Post in early February. Dead goose knocks out hunter on Maryland's eastern shore.
Huh.
Did you guys hear about this one?
This was picked up by some other news services. I think I've heard this one. The man had been stranded on a desert island, and the goose was his friend.
Yeah. If only he had seen the feathers.
The dog tags, and he threw up.
A dead goose fell from the sky and knocked a 51-year-old hunter unconscious on Maryland's eastern shore. Robert Milehammer of Maryland was hunting with three others.
Hunting for goose?
For waterfowl. Someone in the group fired on a flock of Canada geese overhead. One of the geese was struck, fell, and hit Milehammer.
Exactly.
Knocking him out and causing head and facial injuries.
Ooh.
I mean, this is a big deal. I mean, the more...
It's a big goose.
It's a big goose. Yeah, you think about it. I mean, I had this counterintuitive, it's like, oh, birds, they're light, you know, because they fly and they're feathery. But then, you know, I mean, like, you look at a rotisserie chicken, and it's like, if I threw a rotisserie chicken at you, you know, from, like, the second story of my house, that would hurt.
Right.
You know? And this is a Canada goose.
They're big.
Yeah. They are big.
And aggressive.
They say that the Canada geese, on average, I don't know about this particular one, but they say they can weigh about 12 pounds. They have a wingspan of 6 feet, and they say this one fell from, they estimate, about 90 feet up. So, I mean, this dead bird was moving when it hit the guy. They had to airlift the guy to a shock trauma unit, according to the article. When Milehammer came to, he knew who he was, but little else.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness.
The dead goose also knocked out two of his teeth.
Whoa.
So watch out when you're hunting. You know, the NPR, they covered the story with a little bit more snark. They said, you know, some might chalk it up to bad luck, others to karma. Mm-hmm. And I think that, if you're going to go out hunting geese, if one of them hits you in the head, you can't complain.
That's from beyond the grave.
You can't complain.
Yeah. It's not like it's attacking you.
Right.
Did you say months of goosemas revenge? What did you say?
Goosemas revenge? That's it.
Goosemas.
We got it.
If there is,
I thought that's what you said.
And this is now commemorated among the geese as goosemas. Yeah. Yeah, so they said last report he's in stable condition. You know, it wasn't even like, oh, and he's fine now. It was just, he's stable. Watch out for those geese. He's in stable condition.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like, and he's doing great. It's he is not, he's not dead.
We're optimistic about his recovery.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so keep your head on a swivel.
It's not getting any worse.
Yeah.
That Nintendo game Duck Hunt would have been so much better if you could shoot the duck so it hit the dog.
The dog. Oh.
Yeah.
Duck Hunt Redux or 2.0.
Redux.
I thought you thought of that.
No.
Oh my God. That's fantastic.
Tripping over the puns.
Redux.
Well, without further ado, we're not road to 200. We are at 200.
The road to 200 is behind
200.
Us.
Let's start off with our first general trivia segment, our 200th pop quiz, Hotshot.
Hotshot.
So instead of usually
200 times we've done this.
Yeah, 200. So that's what 1,200 questions.
Give or take.
Well, sure.
Give or take. Because we played Jeopardy before.
Yeah.
So usually
for a lot of questions.
Usually for this segment, I have a random Trivial Pursuit card that I will have you guys answer. But today is a special occasion. We have a Trivial Pursuit scratch and play book that I will choose questions from the different categories. And then we'll find out what the answer is because I have to scratch like a lotto.
Oh, okay. They really make you work for it here.
Buzzers. Here we go. People and places.
Mm-hmm.
What E-word do the Amish use to refer to anyone outside their community?
Oh.
That's a good one. Chris.
Englishman.
Yeah, I was going to say they're English, right?
I have to scratch.
I want you to really mic up the scratching sound there, yeah.
Correct, it is.
Oh, this is a multiple choice?
Yeah. I'm not going to give you a choice. English.
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 Yeah.
All right. Arts and entertainment, what dapper rappers donned stylish Stetsons for their 1984 Rock Box video? Dana.
Run DMC?
It's not a bad guess.
Because they wore those hats, yeah.
Rock Box video. Run DMC, correct. All right, next question. History. What hot new dance in 3/4 time, which is a tempo, was first described in the 1588 book Orchestrography? Chris.
The waltz.
Incorrect.
This hot
three, four new times. So it should be like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, I think.
Hot new dance.
Hot new dance. The rumba.
No.
In the 1500s.
Oh, 1588.
It's not the waltz.
The quatrain.
Mm-mm.
Like the foxtrot?
It is the minuet.
I was going to say the minuet. It's the only other old-timey dance.
I didn't even know that was a dance. Okay. All right, science of nature. What creature, when eaten while still alive, chokes 6 people to death each year in South Korea?
What? Eaten while still alive?
What creature, while still alive, chokes 6 people to death each year in South Korea?
Dana.
Squid?
Incorrect.
Mm.
Oh.
Colin.
The eel.
Incorrect, but that's a good guess.
It's not the squid. It's not the eel.
It is the octopus. Mostly because of the tentacles, the suction.
All right, so remember, kill those
just chew more carefully.
Or that.
Well, so that is a thing where you eat like raw or fresh octopus or squid, mm-hmm. mostly octopus. However, like when you, even though the animal is dead, sometimes it has leftover nerve movement.
Yeah.
So you'll see like it's kind of gross with like things move, and when you swallow, you can feel it move. But like it is dead. It's kind of like leftover nerve firing.
You've seen those videos where they have the tentacles kind of laid out, and they pour water on it, and then they curl up and.
Not for me.
Listen,
not for me.
I'm not going to get choked to death by still alive
from the inside.
So I'm going to go ahead and just eat it like that. Yeah.
All right. Next question: sports and leisure. Sports and leisure. Who was the first female athlete to grace a Wheaties box?
First female athlete. Althea Gibson.
Incorrect. Dana.
Mary Lou Retton?
Correct.
Really?
Mary Lou Retton.
That late? She was the first?
Mm-hmm.
So what, 84, right? I'm surprised it wasn't until the 80s that they didn't have a woman on the cover. I mean, on the box.
I'm not that surprised.
No.
I mean, maybe I shouldn't be,
Colin.
Sadly.
Who wants to be like a girl? And took until the 80s before they were like, maybe that's cool.
Mm-hmm. All you have to do is win a bunch of gold medals, and
all right, fine. I guess you're good.
Like, not even, like, Nadia Comer. Or maybe, I guess they go for American athletes.
Yeah.
I guess
you want to be like a 10-year-old Romanian girl. Like,
she was probably wasn't allowed to have Wheaties.
No, no.
Remember to eat your cereal and you'll grow up to be this 57-pound middle schooler from Ukraine.
Send your letters to Chris Kohler.
All right. Last question, wild card. What are Greek mythologies Clotho, Lachesis, and Atropos collectively known as? Sorry if I botched the pronunciation. Colin.
Are those muses?
Incorrect.
More muses than that.
I have another guess, but
Clotho Lachesis Atropos. Dana.
Are they dreams or sleepy ones?
Nope. All right. Colin, back to you.
Are they the fates?
They are the fates.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Hey.
Good job, Rain.
All right.
There we go. Our 200th pop quiz hotshot.
Yeah.
And so today is not only our, well, I guess bicentennial is not the right word.
That is that's the wrong word. I mean, like, it feels like it's been 200 years.
Yeah. The bicentennial is 200 years. There's no term for
200 episodes 200 of a podcast.
Something.
There should be.
Yeah. So not only is it a celebration, it is also an all quiz. Every fifth episode, multiple of five, we have a show that doesn't have a theme or a topic. All of us made quizzes to quiz each other and to quiz you guys, dear listeners. So today is our all quiz number 40.
Okay, I had a lot of fun putting this quiz together for you guys. It is a music quiz.
Oh, we're going to start off with a music quiz.
Yeah, right out of the gates here. Yeah. I'm going to play some songs for you, ask you some questions about them. Now, Karen, you might even be asking, is there a theme to this quiz? And I'm going to say, you bet there's a theme to this quiz.
Okay.
In fact, there's a specific theme to this quiz. So that's a little challenge for you guys that you have to figure out. In addition to identifying the artist of each song I'm going to give you, there's a connective tissue, an overarching theme to this quiz, a through line, if you will. Right. And your guys' challenge is at the end of the quiz to tell me what's the theme, what ties all of these songs or artists or the whole experience together.
Okay, interesting.
So get your buzzers ready. I'm going to play 20, 30 seconds of a song for you. You don't need to tell me the title of the song. Sometimes it'll be obvious. But you need to tell me who the singer, the band, who is the musical artist. Who is the artist performing the song? Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. First track, who is this artist?
There's a battle ahead. Many battles are lost. Never see the end of the road while you're traveling with me. Hey now, don't dream it's over. Hey now.
Oops.
Dana.
Crowded House.
That is Crowded House.
Whoa.
With Don't Dream It's Over. Yeah. Yes, again.
Not Hey Now.
Although,
that's another song.
If you Google Crowded House Hey Now, you will find the song. Yeah, yeah. Guarantee. All right. Okay, next track. Who is this recording artist?
And the people talk to me, but nothing ever hits. So people talk to me, and all the voices just burn home.
Dana again.
Sounds familiar.
Lord?
It is Lord.
Oh.
Yes, yes, that is okay. Yellow Flicker Beat. Okay.
My guess, really.
Okay. Karen, Dana, I see the gears turning here. They may be sniffing it out here. All right, next track. Tell me the recording artist.
Okay.
Oh. Karen in first with the guess.
I have two guesses.
Okay, you gotta go with one first.
Buena Vista Social Club.
Yes, yeah. Correct. Yeah, good instinct. That is Chan Chan, considered the signature song of the Buena Vista Social Club supergroup. Okay, all right. Moving right along here. Moving right along. Maybe you guys are starting to form some guesses here.
No.
Okay.
No.
Next track. Next track. Who is this recording artist?
I won't synthesize. Complain once more, you can. I
Ooh, I think everyone clicked in. Dana, I think, was maybe first.
Bjork.
That is Bjork, yeah, yes. Yes, Army of Me is the track. Army of Me. That is Bjork. Or Bjork, if you prefer.
Just non-American so far.
I can pinpoint all the countries they're from.
Moving right along. Next track. Who is this recording artist?
Rome was not built in a day. Opposition will come your way. But the hotter the battle you see, it's the sweeter the victory. Now, you can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. But you must try.
Yes, Dana, who is this? We all know the song.
I don't know the song.
I don't
you
know
don't
the
know
song.
This song? Oh, okay. Nope. Well, I'll give you the title. It's You Can Get It If You Really Want.
Yeah. But you must
I have
yeah? Yeah?
Oh, I don't know who it is.
Take a guess.
I mean, like, I can hear an accent.
It was one of the first really big hit reggae songs in America and the UK.
Bob Marley.
Not a bad guess. It's not Bob Marley. That is Jimmy Cliff.
Yes.
Jimmy Cliff.
Okay.
Very famous.
I was like, it's the person
artist that
you always guess correctly at trivia when it's reggae.
Jimmy Cliff shows up.
Not,
yeah. No, it's true.
It's not Bob Marley.
If a reggae.
Colin's like, no, it's Jimmy Cliff.
And absolutely. Like, if reggae shows up at your trivia and it's not Bob Marley, it's either Jimmy Cliff or maybe Peter Tosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Jimmy Cliff on that one. Okay. I see some confused faces, which is good. I like it. It means you guys are working on the theme hard. Mm-hmm. All right, next track. Who is this recording artist? Karen, confidently.
This is a very your generation music quiz.
Oh, is it?
I feel like it is Chibo Motto.
That is Chibo Motto.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Sugar Cubes.
Okay.
I only know this song.
That is Spoon is the name of that song.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. Okay. They do have a lot of songs about food, but yes.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. There's two Japanese girls.
It is.
Band.
It is. Yes. All right. Next track. Who is this recording artist? Dana or Karen, whoever.
Yes. Rihanna. Yeah.
That is Rihanna.
Rihanna.
With Shut Up and Drive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very my generation song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The other ones were.
You guys want one more track here? Got enough to solve the theme, you think?
No.
No? All right. I'll give you one more here. We'll close it out with this one. We'll close it out with this track.
Because she's watching him with those eyes. And she's loving him with that body, I just know it. And he's holding her in his arms late at night. You know I wish that I had Jesse's girl. I wish that I had Jesse's girl.
Chris.
Rick Springfield?
That is Rick Springfield.
Oh, I was going to say Rick Springsteen. Yeah. I think I know the theme.
Okay. Do we want to do a real quick recap?
Yeah, let's do a recap.
Okay.
For the listeners, you know.
So I'll just walk you guys through it and you guys kind of scaffold. So we had Don't Dream It's Over to start off with Crowded House. We had Yellow Flicker Beat by Lorde. We had Chan Chan by Buena Vista Social Club. Army of Me by Bjork. You Can Get It If You Really Want by Jimmy Cliff.
Yeah.
Chibo Motto gave us Spoon. Mm-hmm. We had Shut Up and Drive from Rihanna.
Yeah.
As featured prominently in the movie Wreck-It Ralph. Yes.
Oh, because of the Sugar Rush game. That's right.
And we closed it out with Jesse's Girl by Rick, not Springsteen, Rick Springfield.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, Karen. So, and remember, there's a specific theme here I'm looking for.
So. I think the a little bit more obvious thing that me and Dana are catching on is all these artists are not only non-American. Mm-hmm. They're from international places. Mm-hmm. So, like, Crowded House mm-hmm. Australian, mm-hmm. Lord is New Zealand.
Yeah,
I have a feeling that they're all from countries that are island nations.
You got it right on the head, Karen. Yeah. They are all from island nations.
Rick Springfield was the one that messed me up. I was like, oh, they're all islands. Wait, Rick Springfield, where is he from?
I, too, used to assume he was American, but no. Rick Springfield is Australian.
Oh.
Yes, born Rick Springthorpe, actually.
Not the same. Springthorpe.
Doesn't roll
Karen, you got
so
it.
We have
Crowded House from Australia.
Lord
we have
from New
Lord
Zealand.
From New Zealand.
Bjork from Iceland.
Bjork from Iceland. We have Buena Vista Social Club from Cuba.
Cuba.
We have Jimmy Cliff from Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
We have Spoon. We have Chupamato from Japan. As you mentioned, Rihanna, of course, from Barbados.
Right.
And then we closed it out with another 80s Australian. I wanted to have those as the bookends
of
Rick Springfield, Jesse's Girl.
Huh.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun putting that one together. And a tip of the hat to friend of the show, Jonah Meacham, who helped me with the idea.
Ooh.
But yeah, so you got it, Karen. Very well done.
Well, I like geography.
I had a couple red herrings in there with the Australia, New Zealand, but I also had a lot of these are soundtrack songs.
Oh, yeah.
I made about half of them are direct from movie soundtracks. Thought I could maybe throw you guys off there, but... You guys are too good for me.
Yeah.
You couldn't
throw me off because I had no idea about either of those things. Yeah.
Yeah. What other islands are you missing? There's not a lot.
There are. I pretty much.
Hawaii. You have like Don Ho, but that's not a nation.
I wanted to keep it international and islands. It has to be somebody who's well known enough in America
Good job.
All right. Good job, Brains.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So I have a quiz for you guys. It is another version of Lifetime Movies or Not Lifetime Movies. It was included in our Good Job Brain book.
Yep.
And they keep making them.
They keep making them, and the titles remain
ridiculous. Four Lifetime channels.
When you've got a hankering for that kind of entertainment, you do.
Okay.
You do, right?
All
the
right.
heart wants what it wants, and it'll pay a few dollars a month.
Yeah, you act like it's a chore to research these, but I know that you love it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For people who don't know, but I know all of you know, Lifetime movies are it's on the channel for women. It's entertainment for women, and it's that tone of voice type of entertainment. It's
would you say these are low drama or high drama?
I mean, I think they're high concept is maybe a way to describe it, where like the title is what it is about, and it's stuff like My Stepson, My Lover, you know, it's one that might air on the Lifetime channel.
A little bit scandalous and dramatic and
tawdry, and you're like, I would like to see what this is about.
TV movies.
It's kind of like romance novels, but as a TV movie with Tori Spelling or Hayden Panettiere or whatever. I will read you the name of a movie, and you have to tell me if you think it is a actual Lifetime movie or something I made up last night over a glass of wine.
Oh, that's the mood.
Yeah. Kick it off with a solid one. Blue-Eyed Butcher.
Blue-Eyed Butcher.
That sounds real.
Butcher is like...
It sounds a little even dark. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. A little not...
I'm going to say real.
No.
I'm going to say no.
It is real.
What is
real.
It about?
A person with blue eyes who kills people.
Who kills people?
I mean, it's in the name. Like, you can guess,
it also
and
could
you're
be
right.
Like, the handsome guy working at the butcher shop.
Yeah, I thought it was a romance story.
I was assuming it was like a guy with blue eyes who like kills.
It's a murder mystery.
Yeah, it's a murder.
Right, right.
Some of these are like romances. Some of them are murder. Some of them are both. Like,
are both.
And I think like
the two so often go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Cyber Seduction, His Secret Life.
That sounds real. That sounds real.
Yeah,
to
I'm gonna go with real.
It's just so.
Oh man, reverse psychology is like screw. I can see this like on another channel, like as an expose, like a real documentary.
Uh huh.
Like a
like know, a Dateline NBC or
yeah,
something.
Yeah. I'm gonna say no. I'm just gonna be contrarian.
Okay, I'm gonna say yes. I'm gonna go with Chris
it is.
On this one.
It is real.
Oh yeah.
How about this one? Ghosted by a ghost.
Ghosted by a ghost. Oh, that's so good.
That's very.
Now, is it Dana good or is it real good?
I'm gonna say
it's a Tinder horror story.
Ghosted
I'm
by
say
a ghost.
That Dana wrote that.
Dana wrote that. Very
good. I'm gonna say it's real because I want it to be real.
It's not real. I got confused.
No, it's too good.
I really made it up. That's
too good. Yeah. Ghosted by a ghost is so good.
It's a real concept that you really pitched.
It's a horror dating story.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just it's like this. It's the second chapter of my ghost boyfriend. You know. Yeah. The ghost is clear.
The call isn't coming from inside the house.
Because he's not interested.
Because he left
he's
you.
He's just
girl.
Not into you. Yeah.
He's just not that into haunting.
He doesn't want to possess you. Deadly sorority.
Oh yeah.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, I'm not going to overthink this one. That sounds real.
All right. Yeah, it's real. It's real.
Okay.
Fatal honeymoon.
Ooh.
Sex and murder.
Oh, fatal man. Honeymoon. Oh, I'm going to say it's real only because unless Dana's messing with my head, I think Dana's would be – you would have a better pun than fatal honeymoon.
I think it's not. I
you think
it's made
not?
Up.
I'm going to say that it's real, and if you made it up, it should be real.
It's real. Real. It's, okay. Real. Okay. It's real. Yeah. It's real. For Pete's sake.
Oh, for Pete's sake. And it would be about like, you know, she's like, Pete. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh man!
Or the Pete is the son,
right? I think it's the son,
yeah. Like the dying son. You know, I'm going to do this for Pete's sake.
Yeah,
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. It's too clever.
I'll say no.
Too
also.
Clever. No.
Yeah. Sorry. God, let me look at my list.
I gotta get better.
Yeah,
for Pete's sake. That's good.
You know why? Because good. When it's clever. Then we know it's you. Like when you're just like, oh, I took a dark adjective and put it with a lady noun. It's like that's lifetime.
That's it. You crack it open.
Oh no!
Dark adjectives and lady nouns.
Right.
Lizzie Borden took an axe.
So they did make this into a show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Starring Christina Ricci, but it's not
Borden
Lifetime.
Took an axe.
It was like,
I'll say real.
I'll say it's real.
I'll say real.
Oh,
you not guys, real.
It's real. Oh. You guys cracked the code. You got me. Let me see.
It's also 50-50 worst case.
It is.
worst.
Lies my mother told me.
Ooh,
lies. I think that's real.
Lies my mother told me. Man, I could see that one either way. Lies my mother told me.
Real.
I'll say real.
It's real.
Mm.
Dark and lady.
What's
now.
It? Yeah, I don't know.
Sexting
I don't want to know.
In suburbia.
Sexting.
Oh.
Now I fell for ghosted by a ghost.
Yeah.
A classic.
I'll say fake. I'll say it's fake.
Real.
It's real.
Ah. Sexting in suburbia.
The killer in my library.
She couldn't even get through without laughing.
Fake.
The killer in my library.
First of all,
I'm sorry.
I have my own library. It's so big that a killer can hide there.
The killer in my conservatory. Oh, wow.
The killer was wearing all of my Rolexes.
Yeah. Sorry, you guys got it. When I thought of it, I thought it was, like, I just laughed. For so
humble
long.
Brag.
That is a humble brag. Killer in my Rolexes.
So fake.
I'll say fake.
It's fake. My mother, the mermaid.
Do they do kind of like comedy ones? Like cheat? Do they do cheat?
Sometimes.
Oh man, I don't even know
anymore.
I think
this is too teeny. I think this concept is a little bit more freeform or Disney Channel.
Okay,
so I say no.
All right, Karen's convinced me that it. Yeah, I'm gonna say no, not real.
I'll say it is real.
It is not real.
Oh man,
that was a good guess.
Yeah.
If it was My Mother the Mermaid, Blood in the Water, then I will say it is.
Well, what about this one? Stranger in the Mirror, Shattered Glass.
See, the colon, the implied colon here, makes me feel like it is real.
I agree, for the same reason.
Makes me think there was a precedent.
Mm-hmm. Stranger in the Mirror, colon, also, shattered glass.
Also, there is a colon.
I love that they were all sitting around the boardroom and one half wanted to call it Stranger in the Mirror, and the other half wanted to call it Shattered Glass.
Yeah.
They just get out of that meeting, so they finally just compromised. Yeah.
No.
It is not.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. No, actually, my husband wrote that one.
That's how you're tricking us.
He's cracked the code.
So really, the answer is neither.
Yeah, you're right. It was an Eric.
Yeah.
All right, last one.
Original.
Last one. With this ring.
With this ring, I'd be murder.
Yeah. With this ring, I'd be dead. I feel like...
That's good.
Before you give me credit, I feel like that must have been a Simpsons gag. Like, that must have been an Itchy and Scratchy or something.
Possibly. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
That's the right context.
I'm going to say that is a real movie.
I say real.
It is real. Good job, you guys.
Man, it's emotionally draining. Like, I'm tired after doing this. It's just on that roller coaster.
Yeah, it's like you have to think, okay, well, will women like this? And then you have to think, well, the people who name this movie think women will like this.
No, I was trying to think of one with a yarn store. Hook or by crook.
By hook or by crook, colon, killer in my yarn store.
Wearing the Rolexes.
The killer crochet.
She's a small business owner.
The first half is an empowering entrepreneurial story.
Oh my god.
I always joke that my child's lifetime movie is called Not Without My iPad.
Sponsored by Apple.
Colon.
You can spend less time staying in the know about all things gaming and get more time to actually play the games you love with the IGN Daily Update podcast. All you need is a few minutes to hear the latest from IGN on the world of video games, movies, and television with news, previews, and reviews. You'll hear everything from Comic-Con coverage to the huge Diablo 4 launch. So listen and subscribe to the IGN Daily Update wherever you get your podcasts. That's the IGN Daily Update, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so for episode 200, I was thinking of bringing back one of my classic segments from earlier shows.
Oh, what is it?
I was thinking about bringing back that segment where I do classic first lines from books or classic lines from movies. And then I started thinking about, what about first lines from plays, from musicals? Mm-hmm. And that really didn't work out.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking about, what about opening numbers? No. From musicals. And that really didn't work out either. Because that's typically either super obscure, the title of it, or it's literally just the title of the
show. Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah. Right, yeah, exactly. Right. So it was both ways. But what I eventually landed on is something totally new, totally different. We've never done this before.
Oh, okay.
I'm really excited about this. I am going to name you titles of musical numbers from Broadway musicals, and you will tell me what the musical is.
Oh,
and here's the thing. I am going to start out with obscure, real B-sides, possibly even C-sides or D-sides. From these musicals, and then I will work my way up into the end. Then the fifth musical number should be the gimme.
Oklahoma.
Right, exactly.
If
you're not getting it, then you're not getting it.
I actually did avoid where there is a song that is the title of the actual musical, so I'm not getting that easy for you.
So you want us to buzz in when we know what it is?
As soon as you know it, yeah, because I'm going to start off with the obscure stuff, so you get more points.
Right. Okay.
You get more Chris points.
So we're going to hear a lot of Karen's buzzer.
You know what? We'll see.
Look at how smug her little smile is.
Sorry, as you guys are talking, I just thought of something because you made that joke with the A, B sides, C sides, D sides. So records have A sides and the B sides.
Yeah.
Would the C side be like the circumference?
That would be the edge.
That
the
is,
edge.
edge. That is a sign. That's
no,
a
no. In fact, if you had two record sets, you would have A, B, C, and D.
Oh, okay.
I remember those.
Yeah. And in fact, it always confused me as a kid because sometimes, I think most of the time, it would be A and D would be on one record and B and C would be on the other.
Oh,
and the reason is so you could stack them up on your record player that would handle multiple records and it would pull off the A and then it would be B and then you flip them both over and then it would play C and then
so
D.
It's- A, 1, and then B, C, 2, and then back to 1 for D.
Exactly.
Oh, how technology.
I know. Yeah, you know, it wasn't that long ago. It was the height of technology. Anyway, we're off on a weird tangent. Names of the songs, you tell me the musical.
Okay.
All right.
Number one, Ascot Gavotte.
Oh.
Just You Wait. On the Street Where You Live. Karen.
This is My Fair Lady.
That is My Fair Lady.
Oh, okay.
Ascot Gavotte. Well, I mean, the movie is different than the actual theater Broadway play. What are the following ones?
Get Me to the Church on Time and finally The Rain in Spain.
Yes. Okay.
Figured you'd get it by the end.
By that time, I feel confident. By the last one.
Yeah.
I would not have gotten it.
Number two. Poor fool, he makes me laugh. Why have you brought me here?
Oh,
Karen.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's not it. I was going to guess Chicago.
No. Colin.
Beauty and the Beast?
No.
Okay. Have you brought Keep me. Going.
Magical Lasso. All I Ask of You. Dana.
Is this Annie Get Your Gun?
It is not Annie Get Your Gun. I like where you're going with the battle.
Yeah.
All I Ask of You. Karen.
Phantom of the Opera.
It is Phantom of the Opera. Okay. There is indeed a magical lasso in Phantom of the Opera. And Music of the Night was going to be the last one. Yeah, classic. Okay, here we go. Moonshine Lullaby.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
My Defenses Are Down. Anything You Can Do. Karen.
Annie Get Your Gun.
That is Annie Get Your Gun.
Anything you can do, I can do.
That song is from Annie Get Your Gun. So is There's No Business Like Show Business. Is from Annie Get Your Gun. And then finally, You Can't Get a Man with a Gun. I felt that was the the real obvious one. All right. Number four. Lyda Rose. Gary, Indiana.
Oh.
Colin.
Is that the Music Man?
That is the Music Man. Woo. Gary, Indiana.
I was going to guess Motown. Michael Jackson, the Jackson family. Gary, Indiana.
Yes, indeed. And so is Professor Harold Hill from Music Man, or so he says. Can't be sure of anything that man says. Till There Was You, 76 Trombones, and You Got Trouble are the Music Man. Exactly.
Man, wow.
There we go. Do You Love Me? Far From the Home I Love. Miracle of Miracles. If I Were a Rich Man. Colin.
That is, of course, Fiddler on the Roof.
That is indeed Fiddler on the Roof. And finally, Matchmaker, Matchmaker.
Yeah. Yes.
No Matter What.
So generic.
I know.
No matter what.
Yeah.
How Long Must This Go On? If I Can't Love Her. Human Again. Karen.
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast. Songs from the Broadway musical.
Those are extra songs.
As far as the musical goes, those are songs. Be Our Guest. Kansas City. I Can't Say No.
I can't say no.
Colin?
Porgy and Bess?
No.
Oklahoma?
It is Oklahoma. Good job.
There's vernacular in there somewhere. Yeah.
People Will Say We're in Love, Surrey with the Fringe on Top, and Oh, What a Beautiful Morning.
Okay, that's the only one. Right.
Okay.
Fugue for Tin Horns. Fugue for Tin Horns. I've never been in love before.
These are so similar.
A bushel and a peck.
Oh,
I love her.
Mm-hmm. Karen?
South Pacific.
Incorrect.
Oh.
Sit down, you're rocking the boat.
Oh, man, I don't know these classic ones.
Luck be a lady.
Oh.
Wow.
Karen.
Guys and Dolls.
Guys and Dolls. Guys and Dolls is where a bushel and a peck is from. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
She is a diamond. Karen.
Oh.
Aladdin.
Incorrect.
Oh, I was being risky.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, good. I'd be surprisingly good for you. Karen.
Evita.
Yes.
Oh, Evita. Wow.
All right. Also, the ladies got potential. Buenos Aires.
There you go.
And Don't Cry for Me, Argentina.
Yeah.
Is I'd be surprisingly good for you, Evita, singing to or being sung to?
It is actually a duet both. Between Evita and
they're
Juan
both.
Perón.
Okay.
And Perón, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
What baking can do? Karen.
Waitress.
Whoa.
All right.
Based on the movie Waitress, which was about a waitress who baked pies.
Yep. What baking can do, Poe Matter Pie, Lulu's Pie Song, okay. It Only Takes a Taste, and I Love You Like a Table.
Oh.
Yep. One more for you guys.
Sarah Bareilles wrote it.
One more. Land of Lola. What a Woman Wants. Take what you got. Dana.
Carmen?
Not Carmen.
Ooh, opera, though.
Oh.
Well,
Now, which one was
Price Lola? And Son Lola. Theme. Sex is in the heel.
I'm going to kick myself when you say it. Like
Land of Lola.
Yeah.
What a Woman Wants. Take what you got. Price and Son theme. Sex is in the heel.
Price and Son.
Sex is in the heel. It's not West Side Story. Songs were written by Cyndi Lauper.
Oh.
Karen.
Kinky Boots. Yeah.
Kinky Boots. Yeah.
Oh.
Not bad.
That was a good one.
Some of you got one over on Karen, so that's good.
Yeah, the older musicals I didn't grow up, never watched the movies.
Yeah,
stuff.
It's funny that some of those songs that you just think are sort of standards, like were actually came from
no business,
musicals.
Like show business,
right, you don't think of that as being it. Yeah, exactly.
All right, my turn. It has been award season.
Yes.
Oscars are on tonight as we're recording.
Yeah.
Probably all over by the time you hear this. And I think in the spirit of celebrating our 200th episode achievement, we should have a quiz celebrating other people's achievements.
Oh.
Here I have compiled
other lesser achievements that are not as good as
200 episodes
of a podcast
on a show on the internet.
Yeah.
So I compiled a roundup, hopefully diverse roundup of snippets of awards speeches that will play for you all. And your mission is two parts.
Okay.
You need to identify who is speaking and identify what award, including category, they just won. So, for example, Sally Field had a very, very, very iconic speech. Where it's like, you like me.
Right now, you like me.
You're not going to do that one?
No. So, for example, you would say that Sally Field, and she just won Oscar for
Places in the Heart, I believe.
Lead actress.
Okay. Oh, okay. You don't need to know the work.
You don't need to know the work. The work gets a little hard. You know, if you want to tell me the work, that's cool too.
Okay. But just Oscar is good enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just say not only Oscar, but what category.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I have faith in you guys to recognize the voice, except for one. What they say in the snippets will clue in.
All right.
Sure.
Definitely.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. First one.
I used to dream about this moment. Now I'm in it. Tell the conductor to hold the baton a minute. I'll start with Alex Lacamoire and Bill Sherman. Kevin McCullum, Jeffrey Seller, and Jill Furman. Kiara for keeping the pages turning. Tommy Kail for keeping the engine burning. For being so discerning through every all-nighter. Dr. Herbert for telling me you're a writer.
So who said that?
Yeah.
Okay. What award and what category? Well.
Okay.
All right.
made splash, made waves because of this speech, because it was all in freestyle rap.
Oh.
But
I was about late. To, no,
no, that's part of the answer.
Okay. All right.
All right. Chris, you said.
Lin-Manuel Miranda for best play, Tony. I don't know what the award is called, but, you know, the best.
I wrote exactly the same.
I wrote.
But I put Emmy first because he has all of them except for the Oscar now.
I wrote Lin-Manuel Miranda, Tony, best musical. But after you said the next thing. Oh, go ahead.
Well, you're right. It's okay. Lin-Manuel Miranda, creator of Hamilton.
Yeah.
This is the Tony speech
okay.
for best score for In the Heights.
Not
Hamilton. You didn't have to tell me the word.
Okay.
It was for best score. So as a tricky clue, usually when it's best film or best, you know, album or record of the year or, you know, best musical, usually it's a team of producers.
Yeah, that's
and it's
true.
The producers that's right, that right. talk. So for this award, it was only him because
that's a
he
good, that's a good point.
Made the score.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was looking at a lot of speeches, and it's like, you know, for movies, you think the director would talk, but it's usually.
And I know you love In the Heights, too.
Yes, yeah. Nice. But this was just when this speech came out, it was just everybody's like, what? He freestyle rapped his acceptance speech. Very cool.
All right.
Here we go. Next one.
Well, I think it's safe to say that when we first set out to make this song, we were all thinking, Emmy! The other thing we were thinking was, hey, here's this young up-and-comer, Justin Timberlake, who's clearly very talented and could really use a break.
What artist just won? And, well, he did say Emmy, so you got that. But what category?
Yeah.
And for listeners of the show, Emmy is usually for TV shows. It's the TV award. Oscars movies, Emmys TV, Golden Globe is both. Answers up. Chris, you said.
I said Trey Parker. It was like some sort of a South Park song.
Emmy for
best original song.
But Lonely Island and Justin Timberlake at Emmy for best musical performance.
Of course.
I put Andy Samberg, I mean, as the person speaking, on behalf of Lonely Island, for Emmy for Best Comedy Variety Song or Best Song in a...
It is Best Song. So it is The Lonely Island.
Okay.
That was Andy Samberg speaking for Best Song.
I put D space specific, K yeah. in a box. Yeah.
Specifically. All right. Good job. Yeah. It's D... asterisk.
They used to censor it, but I don't think they do anymore.
Oh,
it's
really?
Funny. I'm like, if you go back and look at old videos, it's funny.
All right, next one. And I first apologize. Some of these speeches are old, so it took me a little bit of engineering magic to kind of, you know, bump
sometimes
up the
that helps, though. It helps place it.
All right, here we go. Next one.
This is lovely. I know you Americans are famous for your hospitality, but this is really ridiculous. I have so many thank yous, I only know where to start, and that's with Mr. Walt Disney, and naturally, he has the largest thank you of all. I wouldn't know where to stop.
Ooh. Big clue. All right, answers up. Chris, you said.
Julie Andrews, Best Actress Oscar.
That's what I have.
I wasn't done writing. I wrote Julie Andrews, but you can see where I was going.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same. Dana, same? Mm-hmm. Yes, it is Julie Andrews, Best Actress for an Oscar for
Mary Poppins.
Yeah. Her voice is very clear.
Yeah.
Even after all these years and
very precise.
Me ripping the audio. Yeah, yes.
Precise and British.
All right, next one.
We weren't supposed to be here. You made us believe. You kept us off the street. You put clothes on our backs, food on the table. When you didn't eat, you made sure we ate. You went to sleep hungry. You sacrificed for us. You're the real MVP.
As you guys are writing, man, so this is actually a really, really long speech, but
I recommend watching it. If it doesn't give you chills or make you cry, you're dead inside.
This isn't right. Okay.
All right. Answer's up. Chris.
I have no idea, but is it the most valuable player award?
Yeah, you know what?
Sport?
No.
Okay.
I put Michael Jordan, question mark, question mark. I don't
know. Colin?
That is Kevin Durant's MVP award speech from, I guess, what, 3 years ago now.
You told me to watch it.
It's good. It's online. His mom is there in the audience. And, like, when she starts crying, you start crying. Oh, man, yeah. It is. I recommend it. You can find the whole thing online.
I mean,
yeah.
It's a long speech, and he thanked, like, individually, calling out team members, and they each got, like, a mini speech for that. You know, it's long, but it's very touching. And we have a last one, and this is very hard. My clue is, you probably will not recognize this person's voice. Nobody probably recognizes this person's
okay.
voice.
Okay, so if you have a guess, you're wrong.
But what he says is actually very...
Hint.
Very beautiful and does hint to maybe who he is.
Yeah, I hope so.
Here we go.
Moment for me, and words seem so futile, so feeble. I can only say that thank you for the honor of inviting me here, and oh, you're wonderful, sweet people.
Old British guy.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Who came all the way from England to America to accept this award. Words seem so feeble and futile.
So to me, that definitely had the feeling of like a Lifetime Achievement Award vibe. Yeah. Like it's like everyone's here so reverent. And so I have Lifetime Achievement Award, Academy Award for Laurence Olivier.
That's a good guess.
I put Lifetime Achievement for Sidney Poitier.
Oscar, yeah. No, I have Oscar.
Nothing. I got nothing.
It is the honorary Oscar for Charlie Chaplin.
Oh, good
that's what
one.
He sounded like.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
A very, very wise, very clear British voice where it's like no one
I think
really...
he sounds like Robert Downey Jr. in my head. Charlie Chaplin.
That's a good one.
Words seem so futile.
So that would have been what, maybe sometime in the 70s?
In the 70s.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, that was good.
Award speeches.
I'm gonna watch that. I want to watch the Charlie Chaplin. I want to see
what he looks like while he's doing
it. He's an old dude.
Yeah.
He doesn't have his
Colin,
little...
He's not wearing the little tramp outfit. Yeah.
Yeah. He has a little...
It's all dusty. And, yeah.
Calling all kids in the car. Brittany and Meredith here from the chart-topping Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Are you dreading another silent car ride with the fam? We've got the cure. 3 rounds of fresh trivia every single week. Movies, music, even science and Disney. We've got something for every trivia buff in the car. No more crickets chirping on those long journeys. The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast is your secret weapon for connecting and laughing with kids of all ages, teens, toddlers, adults, it doesn't matter. Spark their curiosity and challenge their brains with every episode. New episodes drop weekly wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast and turn those car rides into epic adventures.
So I have another quiz for you guys, and it's also a shout out to the Good Job Brain book. In that book, Karen had a section about... bugs named for celebrities or creatures named for celebrities.
Oh, yeah, for their like actual species names.
Yes. So these animals, their Latin name has the celebrity name in it. They were named...
Like, Karen, you had one that was like Schwarzenegger Eye, right?
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah, because the beetle had really strong biceps.
Yeah.
And I found some more creatures that were named for celebrities. And I'll give you a clue about what kind of animal it is and maybe where it was found or what it looks like or what it was named. And you guys tell me who it was named for.
Okay.
You can buzz in. Question number one. There is a species of spider found near Folsom Prison. And adult males of that species are usually black. Everybody.
Johnny Cash.
He's known for his Folsom Prison Blues.
Folsom Prison Blues.
And he was the man in black. And so they were like,
there.
Hey.
Hey, how about that?
This is
then the spider bit them and they died.
There is a species of spider found in the Joshua Tree National Park named for this pop star. Karen.
Well, everybody.
Bono.
Bono.
Oh, it's okay. The Edge.
That's true. Maybe it was the Edge.
But it's named for Larry Mullen.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other guy.
Apostacus Bonoi Spider. The U2's 1987 album, The Joshua Tree.
Indeed.
How about this one? The Euglossa Bazinga Bee was named for whom? It's a character from a TV show.
Sheldon from the Big Bang Theory.
Sheldon Cooper from...
Professor Sheldon Cooper. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Dr. and Mrs. Sheldon.
Dr. and Mrs. Sheldon X. Cooper.
Yeah.
Esquire.
From the Big Bang, because Bazinga is his catchphrase. Okay, last one. How about this? The Germanata and Monstra Parva ferns are named for this pop star.
Oh,
Chris.
It's Lady Gaga.
It's Lady Gaga because her
last name is Germanata.
Germanata.
Stephanie
and her
Germanata.
Her fans are the little monsters. The whole species of fern were named Gaga for Lady Gaga. And they're like, oh, because they look like her costume.
That's cool. Yeah. Oh, man. If you guys were to have a species of flora fauna, what would you named after you? What would you think it would be?
Oh my god, huh? I would say maybe like a desert cactus or something like
Ooh,
that.
Oh, that's cool.
That's a good answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me,
I'd want a bee.
Ooh.
Oh, that's cute.
Tree sloth, Chris.
Tree sloth. A pedantic tree sloth. A tree sloth you don't want to sit next to.
Dog is the obvious answer for you, Karen. But you gotta.
Maybe like I like pizza. It would be like a tomato pest.
Oh,
a tomato plant.
Okay,
blight.
Or maybe something that protects the tomatoes to make pizza possible.
Oh, okay.
Like the
Sailor Moon.
They usually name bugs and pests and such.
I mean, if you're at the point where your fans are naming things after you, odds are it's kind of the third or fourth level. You're not getting the big household animals named after you. It's a new species of a spider or a fern or something like that.
Or a worm.
Right. A nematode.
It's not like the notable caveman. Dog. The dog.
They're not gonna find any more species of dogs.
Right. We can make one.
Yeah. Science.
We have the power.
Yeah. All right, my turn. It is well known, publicly known, that I am a big Disney fan.
I grew up
with the movies, and now as an adult, I in awe of what a magic-making and what a money-making the Walt Disney behemoth company is. From movie acquisitions, because they now own Marvel, Lucas.
If Colin liked it as a child, they own it now.
to theme parks, from Disney Institute, which is their professional development training facility. So if you're a company and you kind of want to learn the Disney corporate way, you can enroll in the Disney Institute and learn about synergy and stuff. Disney has a lot of fingers and a lot of pies.
Yeah,
there's a lot of mouse fingers and a lot of pies. So I made it.
That's a health problem.
Yeah, layers should not be in pies.
So I made a quiz where I'm going to name a company or an entity or a title or a work, and you tell me if it was ever wholly or partially owned by the Walt Disney Corporation or not. So I'm saying these things could have been partially owned a long time ago. They don't own anymore. But like at one point.
I didn't know things ever went that direction.
Yeah. So here we go.
All right.
Are we just going to all buzz in or not?
I would say thumbs up, thumbs down.
Okay. Disney, no Disney.
Yeah. Disney, not Disney.
All right.
We know the main companies that Disney own include Pixar, Lucas, Star Wars, and Marvel, ABC and ESPN. So those will not be in the quiz.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Here we go. E Entertainment.
Huh.
E exclamation point Entertainment. Yes or no? Chris says yes. Dana and Colin says no. Yes.
Mm. Mm.
1997, Comcast, one of the minority partners, teamed up with Disney or ABC cable networks to buy the channel.
Okay.
The robotic company Sphero.
What do they make?
They make spherical robots.
Okay. Huh.
Is this the technology behind
BB-8?
Right. That's where I was thinking maybe we're going for the end. The fact that you said it makes me think maybe it's not.
Yeah.
Because otherwise she wouldn't have given it away. Ever owned any part? I don't know. I'll say no.
Okay. Chris, Dana, yes. Colin, no. Yes. Own Sphero. Yeah. And BBA was partially a big reason.
Best to just buy it.
And then develop this.
Rather than continue to pay the money over and over and over.
No,
especially if they're like, oh, it's a cute merchandising opportunity.
Yep. Right. Yeah.
I thought you were trying to fool us.
I know. Yeah.
The X Games, extreme snowboarding, skateboarding, motocross. Yes, yes, yes. Everybody says yes, yes.
Yeah, because ESPN created it.
That is an ESPN creation. All right. Hulu. Oh. Streaming service Hulu. Did Disney ever own Hulu? Or some of it? Chris, Dana, everybody says yes, yes, 30% in partnership with NBC Universal and 21st Century Fox and Time Warner. Insane Clown Posse.
Do they own it?
So random. Why would she choose it if the answer was no? I got to say yes. That's just so out there.
How would they own it? But
yeah, exactly. How would they own it? Sure. I don't know.
You guys say yes. Yes. Insane Clown Posse with other acts including Indigo Girls used to be part of Hollywood Records. And Hollywood Records is owned by the Disney Music Group. So now, nowadays, Hollywood Records is their music company for their Disney teen stars.
Oh.
Vice Media. Vice. Used to be a magazine. Now it's on HBO. Yeah. Edgy news reporting. Viceland.
It seems too far from the core Disney brand, but I mean, I guess so does Insane Clown Posse.
Okay.
I don't
Chris
know.
Says yes. Dana says yes.
Unless
Colin
this is a trick
no.
And the answer is that they're all yes.
Yes, Disney owned 10% minority stake. All right. Dead Mouse. Electronica artist Deadmau5.
All right.
And his work. It's a dude, but well, I don't know about the persona.
He can take off the helmet, I'm pretty sure.
Say yes.
Chris says no. Dana says yes. Colin says no.
So wasn't there a lawsuit or something?
The answer is no. Ooh. Disney never owned or worked with or had a label.
I was going to say they would have to, otherwise they would take them to court over the logo.
Yep. And they the movie starring Richard Gere and Julia Roberts, Pretty Woman. Pretty Woman.
I'll say yeah. I feel like I vaguely remember, like, not even a scandal, but like, oh, Disney financing a movie about a prostitute?
Everybody says yes. Yes. Pretty Woman, along with other movies like Coyote Ugly, Sister Act, many other movies, came out of Touchstone Pictures, which is a Disney movie company. And it was, I mean, we talked about this. Chris, you said that Splash was the first Touchstone picture. Mm. And it was because Disney wanted to distance itself from the G-rated, the kid stuff, and have a movie label that was for, you know, more adults. And so they make it kind of intentionally separate. So very, very clever.
That makes sense.
All right. What about Baby Einstein and its products? Baby Einstein, line of educational,
I mean,
baby stuff.
There's so many of that, so much of that in my house.
Baby, everybody wants their kids to be smart. Does Disney own Baby Einstein?
Nothing Disney does makes my child any smarter.
I'll say no.
Everybody says no. The answer is yes. Between November 2001 and September 2013, Baby Einstein products were owned and operated by Disney.
Wow.
So not anymore. All right. Our favorite, Lifetime Movie Channel.
Oh.
Lifetime Movie Channel.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
You guys all said yes. Yes. Yeah. Joint venture with Hearst. 50% equity.
Huh.
So 50% of all those, my stepson, my lover.
Those blue-eyed butchers.
Blue-eyed butchers.
Yeah.
Yep. And so out of all these, everything is yes except for Dead Mouse, which is what I'm
out. Yeah. Yeah.
See what I did?
I eventually did.
Very clever. And so because of this quiz, I went into, as we know, in America, all patents are public. Like you can find paperwork and all the patents that companies are doing. So I spent 2 hours going through just the patents filed by the Disney company this year. We're only two months have passed. Right?
Patents and trademarks too.
Yes. Right? Yeah. So this is patents.
Things they're cooking up over at Disney.
Yeah. This patent is called Systems and Methods for Estimating Age of a Child Based on Speech.
Oh, that's cool.
Language processing.
Yep. To find out how old a kid is. And the thing is, every patent I'm reading, I was like, how are they going to incorporate this in Star Wars land when they build it? Three-dimensional display with augmented holograms. So usually with holograms, it's flat or it's 2D or it's an image of a 3D. But this one's like you can walk around and it's like a 3D hologram projection. And another one I saw is methods and systems of generating a parametric eye model. Somehow they can recreate your eye or the pattern of your eye, which is very,
that's neat.
Very interesting.
That can be a gift shop in like the Haunted Mansion.
Oh,
we'll take a scan of your eye and then print out a glass eyeball.
Be like, this is your eye. Yeah.
That's cool.
Future is scary and also exciting.
And we'll sell you things.
Does it have neat diagrams in it?
It does. It has schematics. And we got one last quiz in this 200th episode.
Yes, all my Kohler miners out there. Fans. And then of course the younger fans, the Kohler miners. Yes, it is the last quiz of this episode, and you may remember that I did a quiz that was very much like this one on a previous episode. It was liked by everyone except for Karen, who had some complaints about it. So hopefully Karen will appreciate this revamped version of the quiz. It is the Weird Al Yankovic song quiz.
Oh, all right.
Now, Weird Al back in the headlines these days because he just released his first single in some time, which is in fact the Hamilton Polka.
Yes,
a polka medley of songs from the musical Hamilton,
which was his thing. The polka medleys.
He does
the
polka medley on every album, I believe. Yeah, but this one is all Hamilton songs. Quite funny, quite good. I am going to play you a snippet of a Weird Al Yankovic parody song. It's a parody of somebody else's song. You need to tell me, one, the title of the Weird Al Yankovic song. Two, for a bonus point, the name of the song that it is parodying. And three, the artist that did the original song.
Ooh, okay.
Weird Al.
Okay.
Do you get any points for that one?
Parodying. You get, yes, so potential 3 points.
Okay.
We could get some big points on the board here for you guys, okay?
Okay.
Here we go.
Well, maple syrup and snow is what they export. They treat curling just like it's a real sport. They think they're silly accent is so cute. Can't understand a thing they're talking about.
Okay, yes, as a reminder, we are writing down the name of the song. We are writing down the name of the song that song is parodying, and we are writing down the name of the artist that song is parodying for a potential 3 points.
Oh, man.
See how you guys do. This is, this is a lighthearted, pretty easy way to start us off. You probably got this. Everybody has written down Canadian Idiot. Everybody has written down American Idiot. And everybody has written down Green Day. Congratulations. You are correct.
Yay.
Weird Al song, Canadian.
I was not familiar with Canadian Idiot, but I got the curling reference in there.
Yeah. Boot.
Yeah.
Well, that one was a little bit easy. Let's make things a little bit trickier with this next clip.
Shredding the files like it. Memorized all the enemy spies. I gotta neutralize today. Yeah.
Okay. Colin, you
blank, blank Taylor Swift.
Oh, blank, blank Taylor Swift. Okay. Dana has Spying in the USA, Party in the USA, Miley Cyrus. Karen has Party in the CIA, Party in the USA, Miley Cyrus. Karen is fully correct.
That's what it was.
Party in the CIA, Party in the USA, Miley Cyrus.
Yeah. You got to get the right one. It can kind of help strap you into the others. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Okay.
All right.
It's good.
Clip number three.
I am the type who is liable to snipe you with 2 seconds left to go. Whoa, got PayPal or Visa, whatever'll please ya, as long as I've got the dough, I'll buy.
The parody song title is one word. The song that's being parodied is not a one word title.
Okay.
Yeah. This is the only one, I think, where the title is not a straight sort of take on the would, you know, with. Okay, Karen and Colin are up. Dana is perfecting the answer.
Okay.
Let's see. So, Colin says the song title is eBay parodying I Want It That Way by NSYNC. Dana says Sugar Daddy parodying.
No, You Are My Fire.
You
I couldn't
are
get
my
to
fire
that.
Fire by
that
the
way.
Backstreet Boys. You've each got bits of it. Karen, I think, nailed it with the song title is eBay. The song being parodied is I Want It That Way. And the artist is the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here we go.
Trick up my sleeve. I never bother with baggies, glass jars, Tupperware containers, plastic cling wrap, really a no-brainer. I just like to keep all my flavors sealed and tight.
Now I wanna.
Okay, Dana says, what did you say?
I said Tupper Royals.
Tupper Royals. A parody of Royals by Lord. Colin says.
Just Tupperware,
Tupperware
Lord, and Royals.
Lord Royals. Karen again has it correct. It is indeed a parody of Royals by Lord, and the song title is Foil.
He's
foil.
Saying not bothering with Tupperware or baggies.
Oh, got it. And I was like, I was trying to.
I was like, oil.
Nice just go for the rhyme.
With
foil.
Yep. All right. A couple more left here. Here we go.
I don't know what it is. Food I can't recognize. My roommate won't throw a thing away. I guess it's probably his. It looks like it's alive.
Should I do it again?
Yeah,
I'm going to do it again.
One more,
you guys
need
to think about this. One more here.
I don't know what it is. I can't recognize. My roommate won't throw a thing away. I guess it's probably his. It looks like it's alive.
Oh.
I hear it.
Yep.
Colin is getting it. He's putting
it
all together.
I'm scribbling it, but you're just going to have to trust me on this one.
All right.
I'll read it out first.
Okay, well, hold on. So Dana, what do you got?
Let's let Colin go first.
Working backwards, I believe that is it's Living on the Edge by Aerosmith.
Uh-huh.
And I'm guessing it's Living in the Fridge.
That's right. You are correct.
Nice.
So Karen got most of it. No, Karen got all of it. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Well, I thought it was question marks there, but put the ditto marks, Living in the... And then, of course, it's not Living in the Edge. It's Living on the Edge. So we're going to give it to you anyway. Yeah, Living in the Fridge, Living on the Edge, Aerosmith. Dana?
I got Aerosmith.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, I know I couldn't think of what song it was, so I put Crazy, and I was like Lazy.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
Two more for you guys. Two more. Here we go.
Celebrity, he told JFK that he really had to pee. He never feels too dumb.
Oh.
I think that everybody has nailed this.
It's a lot of words.
Yeah, it is a lot of words, but I get what you're going with. Yes, the parody is Gump, as in Forrest Gump. The song itself is called Lump, and it is by the Presidents of the United States of America.
Yes. I had forgotten about that one. Yeah.
Yes. My favorite one. I would like chant it. It's like so catchy.
Just one more.
Okay.
Here it is.
Our temples had a fair share of rabbis in the past, but most of them were nudniks and none of them would last. But our new guy's real kosher, I think he'll do the trick. I tell you, he could die for, he really knows his stick. So how about you? Have you seen this Jew? Reads the Torah, does his
Oh my god, why am I blanking on the artist?
I know, it took me a minute to remember. Yeah. This is not funny, but.
Okay. I'm waiting on Colin here. Give me something. Colin, your paper is getting smaller.
Yeah, I know. It's like a...
Colin, why don't you tell me what it says? Yeah,
I'm not sure on any of these three parts. Is it Offspring based?
I'm not going to tell you.
Okay, I put down... It sounded like maybe a parody of Keep Them Separated by the Offspring. I couldn't put it together, Chris.
Okay.
I apologize.
Keep Them Separated by the Offspring. Don't have one. Dana, you have written down.
Offspring.
Uh-huh.
It was a parody of Pretty Fly for a White Guy. Uh-huh. And then I put the song as Pretty Fly for a White Goy.
But I was like, I don't think he's a goy. And Karen has put down Offspring. Karen has put down Pretty Fly for a White Guy. Mm. But Karen has got the title correct. It is called Pretty Fly for a Rabbi.
Oh.
Yeah.
Better.
So the thing is, even though I aced this quiz, I only know half of the Weird Al. It's just working backwards with the actual.
Right. That's the idea.
So, yeah,
that's
it's
what
fun.
I'm picking
kind of
out
like
ones that you have. That, well, that's precisely it. It's you got to figure out what the song is, and then figure out what the easy layup pun is on that, because that's basically what they all.
Yeah.
Not to discount the brilliant work of Weird Al Yankovic.
Hey, you know the great ones make it look easy.
Yes,
right?
That's right. That's right.
Woo!
Great. Yeah.
First, what was the first Weird Al song you remember? Like, I'll go for me, it was definitely Another One Rides the Bus.
Probably.
Like, it absolutely.
probably Fat. I mean, when basically, like, I was like 10, 11 years old when Even Worse came out. Mm. And Fat was on the radio, basically. And that was the first one for me, I think. Yeah.
Eat It, that one.
Ooh, I think, for me, it was The White Stuff. It was The Right Stuff. New Kids on the Block parody. I have an older sister who was really into New Kids on the Block. So it was The White Stuff parodying The Right Stuff, and it was about Oreos.
I was going to guess Oreos.
The White Stuff in the middle of an Oreo. His videos were pretty good, too, because he would do these beautiful, like, pitch-perfect, almost shot-for-shot sometimes parodies of the videos.
Even
well.
Today, like, the Happy, Pharrell's Happy, he did Tacky. And it's a fantastic parody video. And sometimes I'll just watch it.
Yeah, that was
it
from the same album as Foil.
Yeah. And so, what happened, funny for that album, so what Weird Al did was, the album's coming, but you don't know the track list. And what he was doing to promote it was he would release music videos of the songs he's going to parody on different networks.
I remember that.
MTV does one or Wire does one, you know. Uh-huh. And so I started a betting pool at work saying, okay, we know this is going to happen. Write down the songs you are confident that he's going to parody for that album.
What's the zeitgeist of the...
Yeah, exactly. So you have to think, like, is that too old? Is that too new? Is that too overdone? And, like, I got so many of them in there.
We're playing with the Weird Al Weird Al expert over here.
Oh, I've only run a betting pool, on predicting the titles. That's all. Yeah. I dabble. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And that's our show. Our 200th
episode.
We did it.
A lot of people ask me, what is your favorite episode? And my answer will always be our 100th episode.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had some quiz segments. We had our all quiz, but then we also had, I remember we had a hotline open.
Oh, yeah.
And then we had people record messages, and then I put them in. And this one, because of our planning and our scheduling got a little bit messy, so we couldn't do that. But We're reading all your comments.
But for episode 300, for episode 300, we're going to have reader stuff again. Yeah, it's going to be a hologram show. Exactly.
Our children will have taken over the show by then.
Yeah. So record those.
Tupac's going to be there.
Record those holograms now and send them in.
Hope you guys learned a lot of things today, including Lifetime movies, Disney, award speeches, musicals, Weird Al, and of course, island music bands. Mm. You can find our show on iTunes.
Ah, music bands.
Oh, yeah, not just bands. Why did I say music?
My favorite music bands.
I'm not like 90.
Hi, fellow kids. Yes. Do you like music bands?
I am a human just like you.
You can find our show on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
The corporate world is like the ocean. It's alluring, but it's also full of deadly creatures that can shred you to pieces.
It becomes kind of like a Game of Thrones political arena where everyone's trying to murder you to get your job.
My family doesn't come from corporate background, so I didn't have any sort of guidance in that.
This is not your typical work podcast.
Sometimes you need to be empathetic. And then there are times that you ask for input, but you don't really give a shit.
Listen to the Ambie Award-nominated podcast, Surfing Corporate.
Stretch opportunity? What is this, yoga class? Get out of here.